Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Pro Advocate Radio, brought to you by My Advocate Center.
Welcome to Pro Advocate Radio with your host, James O'Brien, and Deb Beacham, founder and owner of My Advocate Center. Deb, great to be here. Great to be doing another show.
Good morning, James. How are you?
I'm doing great. And we have a bit of a unique situation here. Well, the situation is not so unique, but the fact that they were able to come together and maybe rectify the situation is the unique part of this.
Correct. Yeah. So I'm excited because we've been talking a lot about family conflict and having the right professionals around you. And when I think of the right professionals, you know, I think back to the fact that I did not have the right professionals, and there was a lot of information I didn't have access to that I needed. And so I've learned over time the difference, and there's a big difference. And we're very fortunate to have a lot of great professionals around us in healthcare, in the legal community, financial world. Our business community is very strong here. And same thing with our media. And something that is in the news a lot is integrity and ethics. So this show is really a success story that we're getting to tell around the topic of ethics. And what I'm so pleased to be able to say, this is what's possible. Mm-hmm. This is what can happen when we have communication open and we get the right guidance from professionals who have a high level of integrity and who honor our laws and ethics rules. So,
in the analogy you used earlier was Hatfields and McCoys.
Right. Yes. Before we started recording here, we were talking about Hatfields and McCoys, and oh my goodness, what would it have been like if somebody had just said, "Hey, time out. I'm out of bullets, but since I'm out of bullets, why don't we talk for a minute?"
Right.
Before we completely destroy both sides. And so over a period of time, I've talked to a lot of moms and a lot of dads and realized that, you know, they're being told a lot of the same things. And it's almost like there's a script that's being used that keeps people blaming the other side. And we're trained to only focus on what the other party is doing wrong that will hurt me is hurting me. And I have to arm up and bring out the heavy artillery to protect myself and nobody really slows down to see if that's true. So in this situation, one of the other parents I've worked with over a period of time, you know, word of mouth is a great thing. So this new mother came to me and said, you know, I think I need some help. And so we worked to get our second opinion from an attorney, because I'm not an attorney. I don't give legal advice. But we know some great professionals who are very good at assessing situations, whether it involves litigation or it doesn't. We want people seeing the right professionals as quickly as possible so they have a better understanding. So we were able to do that for this mother, where she was able to kind of calm down, and we were able to put a little more certainty in the situation around, you know, really, does it have to go the way it's been going? Does it have to be this expensive? And so we didn't talk for a little while. So I have Tammy and Tony here in the studio, and right now we're talking with Tammy and their parents. And we have Junior is with us today. And so Junior is down the hall at the moment, hopefully enjoying the Cinnabon that we brought here with us to sweeten the message a little bit. This is a success story. And, you know, let me just be clear. Divorce is not a part of success. We're not a divorce organization. You know, child custody and divorce are just, they're tough topics, and they're things that we don't want to talk about because we think of he said, she said in family drama. And we tend to kind of withdraw from that as a society that's actually the time when people are their most vulnerable and they really need a good community around them. They need to know they're not alone. So when Tammy and I started talking, that was, you know, I think the most pressing thing was that we helped her feel like she was part of a community and supported. And she was able to change attorneys. And I'll have Tammy explain this in a minute so you can hear directly from her what happened. And we are interested in working with the new professionals, and say not, you know, they're not young professionals, but they're seasoned professionals who are taking a fresh look at cases like this one to see how we can help families recover and help prevent more conflict from escalating out of control. So, Tammy, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
So what? So you were referred to My Advocate Center.
Correct.
And you were able to get a second opinion and started learning a little bit more about the process that you were already well into. And you had spent how much money by this point?
Probably at least $10,000.
Okay. And when we were first talking, it sounded to me like it was a really stressful situation.
Yes.
And you had been moving around.
I was basically hiding from my child's father because I was being threatened and bullied on almost a daily basis. The attorneys involved were, unfortunately, they seemed to be escalating the situation rather than helping to resolve any of the issues we were facing. You know, as far as visitation of the child or, you know, and I think that's a really important thing in divorce is trying to work out visitation between the parents or, you know, who should have the custody of the child until final custody is determined. And those were things that just didn't seem to be addressed at all in the first couple months of our
divorce.
So you
went 2 months. Did you have a temporary order in place?
They were supposed to put a temporary order, but when we went to court, the judge just wanted to immediately assign an ad litem, which is supposed to
be a guardian ad litem.
A guardian that's supposed to be representing the child or children. And in our case, that turned out to be a very long process that nothing actually happened for a number of weeks. And my husband and our ex-husband and I actually started talking before an ad litem got assigned to our case.
Okay, so taking a step back, when you were in hiding, at the time, and correct me if I'm wrong, what it sounded like was you were being given advice
yes.
to go hide.
Yes, my attorney said that if I didn't feel safe, that I should do that, yes.
Okay, so let's, as somebody who's worked a lot in domestic violence, and I've worked, you know, around law enforcement and, you know, looked at all sides, and I, you know, I work as much with men as I do with women and work a lot with people who are being falsely accused. So in this situation, your attorney is saying, you know, if you need to hide to feel safe, when did they talk about a program like Men Stopping Violence to deal with anger management? No.
No. They didn't do any.
What about...
They didn't even suggest a place where we could meet and let the other parent see the child. I mean, it wasn't my goal to keep my son, my son away from his daddy.
Okay. So Junior down the hallway, who mm-hmm. obviously, I mean, we can see the bond that both of you have with him, which is very important to protect and preserve and uphold.
Yes.
There was no reason to keep your son from him. And nobody was helping to navigate this high conflict situation.
Correct.
And let me just say, none of us are perfect. I mean,
right.
I'm not perfect, and I had to learn to take responsibility for what, you know, for my role in things. And getting to know you both, I see you both taking some responsibility and being less harsh towards each other and allowing, you know, your focus to be on your child. So my congratulations to you for being able to think that way and function. And I know it's not easy. It's never easy. You know, we all make mistakes, and arguments turn into fighting. And when people feel fear and uncertainty, they tend to escalate.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can see both sides here where you go into hiding, he's cut off from his child. How did that make him react?
He went bananas.
The reason we're here today is we're actually going to get to hear both sides.
Correct.
And we're going to get to hear what happened as a result. So I'll let you keep talking. Tell me what happened after.
When my ex and I finally started talking, we were able to start working out times where he could see his son, and eventually even where our son was able to spend the night with his dad, and finally get to where I felt comfortable doing that, even though, you know, he's fairly young and that was a concern. But overall, it was never my goal to keep my son from his dad. It was more the situation became just so heated and so just kind of, we had nowhere to turn. We had no one to help us even have a safe place to jointly meet with the child or anything that that the attorney would recommend to us.
That brings to mind, I mean, mediators, co-parenting coordinators, there's all kinds of professionals that, you know, we see other people being guided to help.
We were being referred to get a guardian, but again, even after we went to court, it took a number of weeks for the attorneys to agree on a guardian. And
but in the meantime, you guys are, it's getting worse.
Absolutely.
You were not only in limbo,
yes,
but it was going from bad to worse.
Yes.
And those aren't my words. Those are, yes, you know, from multiple conversations,
correct,
with the two of you. And you were taking it out on whom?
Each other.
Right. And what was happening financially?
We're both being drained by our attorneys pretty substantially.
So what really stopped me in my tracks when we followed up and I found out, because you said, we settled. And I said, really? You settled? That's amazing. And but tell me about...
My decision was I could keep paying attorney fees or I could cut some of my losses personally and agree to some of my ex's terms financially on assets that we were having difficulty dividing. And I gave that up because I wanted to focus on my son. And that was the decision that I had to make. You know, some people advise me, oh, you know, he shouldn't get this much assets or things like that. But I really just wanted to focus on my son. I always wanted to be a mom, and I'm a mom in my 40s, and I really wanted to just focus on the well-being of my son.
So I'm thinking about that $10,000 that you spent and then later found out that you weren't getting, it's $20,000?
It wound up being over $20.
Okay.
It was $10 just at that
so
point.
So was any of that money spent with a financial advisor that helped you work through a budget and helped you both understand really what your balance sheets were? No?
No.
Okay.
What about, that would be my question is, were any other in that $20,000? Mm-hmm. Now, that's what you've spent. So
yes.
I'm assuming it's probably more like $40 between the two of you. So no other professionals have been brought in at this point. How far down the road are we?
At that point, we had just gone to our first court hearing. At $10,000, my attorney racked up about $10,000 just before we even went to court for the first time to try to even work out a temporary hearing.
Wow. And let me just remind our listeners, you're listening to Pro Advocate Radio with James O'Brien, Deb Beecham, our special guests today, Tammy and Tony. We're talking with Tammy about their divorce case and how they really didn't have any of the professionals they were paying. Deb, we're not really advocating for either one of them.
That's my concern. And, you know, this is why we have a panel of advisors to look over these situations and let them, you know, peel back the layers and see what's really going on here. So I think it would be great to get Tony in here and let, now that we've kind of had an opening from you, but before we do that, how do you feel now?
Things are improving. I can at least call my ex-husband and say, hey, you know, I've got a doctor appointment. I'm giving you first choice. Do you want to, you know, be with our son during that time, or do I need to find another, you know, sitter or caregiver for him? I try to be flexible with him as much as I can on our schedule. You know, even though the court gives you a schedule, a guideline to follow, Christmas for us this year was not a huge problem, which I know for some people the holidays can be a nightmare. Thankfully, we were able to work that out fairly well, where, you know, Christmas Eve was with his daddy and Christmas Day was with his mommy.
Did you have to pay anybody to negotiate that for you?
We did that on our own.
Okay, so you went from being in hiding.
Yes.
And we'll let Tony explain what he was being guided to do.
Yes.
In and around the court system. Mm-hmm. So you went from that to being able to work out a schedule around the holidays. And you seem very peaceful in here together, you know, in the hallway and coming in here. And I'll just say, is it ideal?
No.
Right?
I try to be a peaceful person. That's, you know, not my nature to go to battle or go to war, but that's basically what it wound up being.
So it's better, and nothing's ever ideal, but this is something that we can manage around.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So let's go ahead and get him in here.
Sure.
And we'll keep talking. Well, so
the one question I had for Tammy before she goes, I mean, you're being told run, hide from dad and all that. Was there accusations of physical abuse or any of that stuff in here? Or?
I was being threatened verbally.
Okay. But there wasn't like a history of physical violence.
No.
But yet you're being encouraged to run like you're...
Well, the threats were escalating.
Right. Okay.
I was being threatened very... I was taking his threats seriously after, you know, after so many years together, you start learning someone.
Oh, absolutely. And that's but it strikes me funny that, and how far in were you, how long had y'all been engaged with this particular lawyers when they're telling you to take this course of action?
Actually, the night that my ex was served papers, I stayed in a hotel that night.
Gotcha.
Because I was concerned.
Yeah, and sometimes those situations, that's when most people don't handle being served very well.
Even when you know it's coming.
It's an emotional time. We all react. So,
and then later, after we had our first court hearing and nothing was resolved, I actually was with acquaintances or in hotels for the next 2 weeks.
Right. But I think one of my big questions was, you know, did your attorneys involve law enforcement or talk about protective order? So
no.
They didn't explore any other options for helping the conflict calm down. Okay,
correct.
that was the big question. Yeah, I wanted to ask.
What really helped me was getting in touch with Deb and my advocate center.
Right, and it just sounds like, you know, to get back to your analogy of the Hatfields and McCoys, I'll take that a step further. It's almost like if the Hatfields and McCoys were buying their bullets from the sheriff.
Right.
So, you know, the people that are really in charge of trying to de-escalate this thing are the ones over there with a can of gasoline pouring it on the fire to really try and get it, it sounds like to me, the outside observer here, to get as much money out of both parties as possible.
Yeah, and unfortunately, this is not a unique situation. This is something we see, you know, hundreds of times over, county to county, state to state. It's a national problem. So we're really fortunate that we were able to catch this family and see them through this. And I really can't take credit. They wound up talking on their own, and they kind of reported back into me. And then I met Tony and said, oh, just, you know what, just thank you.
Right.
For stepping back a moment and looking out for the best interest of your child. So welcome, Tony. Thanks for being here. I hope Junior's having a good time with the Cinnabon out in the hallway.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Deb. Thank you so much, Deb.
Well, and thank you for coming in and joining us. We were talking about, of course, this is an emotional issue. It always is whenever there's a divorce. But from what we were hearing from Tammy is they were really playing on her greatest fears. But it sounds like they may have been doing the same thing to you and actually kind of ramping up the emotion instead of being professional, kind of diffusing some of it.
Yes, I agree. The way it went down, that Tam and I, we realized that they were playing us, basically. And I talked to Tammy and I said, we can work this out, because the way I was seeing it is going to, like, really bankrupt us. It was not the best interest of the child. And So we were able to reach an agreed divorce versus have the attorneys, you know, make as much money as they want. I'm not against having the attorneys as far as the legal counsel, but I felt that it was beyond that. It was about money and making money.
Well, and at some point, and let me remind our listeners, you're listening to Pro Advocate Radio here with James O'Brien and Deb Beecham, your host, and we're now joined by Tony discussing the rather turbulent route that their divorce was headed down, and y'all were able to come together and kind of sidestep some of it and minimize the damage, because the road they had you going down, it would have led to exactly what you're talking about. It had been very damaging to your son. It would have been just devastating to both of y'all financially.
Financially and more, because there is life after divorce. Mm-hmm. And the way the attorneys were, you know, handling the case, where they have, you know, other family members testifying against each other. And the way I saw it is, after divorce, you have to deal with the family. You have to deal, you know, there's graduation for the child. You still, there's birthdays, there's other occasions that the family is going to merge together, whether you like it or not. And having the attorneys to include family members as well to testify against each other, it make it very uncomfortable as well.
Yeah, that just adds to that level of, it's all, you know, because being divorced, you're exactly right. When graduations roll around, birthdays roll around, it's so much better for the children if y'all can come together, at least for that short period of time, and it not be just confrontational. But when you start having all these family members come in, you might forgive the ex, but do you forgive the ex's mom and the ex's sister? And that all, you know, you've just opened a whole new wound that doesn't need to be opened when you, if you can negotiate between the two of you.
You know, that is great points. I'd like to ask you a question that we haven't talked about prior to the show. And based on what Tammy was just discussing, we were talking about when she was guided to go in hiding. And she really felt legitimately scared. And so this is not a criticism of you. This is not, I don't want to get into the he said, she said, but what I'm thinking about is if your attorney or if somebody, mediator, law enforcement, if somebody had come to you and said, you know, she's really terrified and she feels like the only way to stay safe emotionally, whatever, not, she said there was no physical violence, but she just emotionally felt that unsafe. And you didn't know that she was being encouraged to go in hiding. And if somebody had said to you, what can we do to help her feel safe and you have your needs met, would you have been able to get a plan in place and respect her boundaries and work through that?
I did try. The attorneys, when we went to the first hearing, I asked specifically my attorney that we need a parenting time to resolve this issue. The first hearing, you know, I gave her sole, you know, use of the home where I don't have to go in and out, give her privacy. The issue became is who should have the child at this point. Legally, I can have the child, and legally she can have the child. And when I talk to my attorney specifically, we need to address the parenting issue. She advised me not to worry about it. And I tried to push this matter because the whole divorce issue became the custody of that child. And I addressed that with the attorney. And basically she said, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it while she's being guided to go into hiding, so you're not seeing your child at all. And how did that make you feel?
It was not good at all, because emotionally I was devastated. I was hurt.
And were you, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was devastated. I was seeing my child every day, and suddenly I understood her point, because technically, if I get a hold of the child, I can have that child in my custody and her not see that child. And that's what we, that's what I ask for parenting time to resolve that issue, you know, from the first hearing.
And you couldn't get that done in the court process. That's, this is, I'm just baffled. I'm sorry. But what I'm gathering from you is that you have empathy for her, that you can imagine what it would feel like for her if the roles were reversed.
Absolutely. And that was my fear as well, that, you know, she was able to take that child and go in the hide, because the way she felt is, if I take that child for visitation, legally, she have no recourse for me to return that child to her. So I totally understood that. And I stopped pushing my attorney to communicate with her attorney to figure out parenting time so she can return home. I did not, like, I want the best for her, the best for my child, and the best for me. And I thought the attorneys will be able to work this out, you know, in when you get divorced, there's always damage. But the goal was to get the attorneys involved to minimize that.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, in this case, it went the other way around.
Do you know about how much money you'd spent with on your side with legal fees up until that point?
Total, about $11,000.
Total $11,000, but at that point?
About $5,000.
Okay, so $5,000 in, and you have no parenting plan, no temporary order. And who are you blaming at this point for what's happening?
I'll be honest with you, I blame the attorneys, because...
At that point, you were blaming them, or were you blaming her for going into hiding?
I don't blame Tammy at all.
Now?
Even then.
Okay.
Because I understood... See, I understood that if I get the child, that I knew that she have a valid concern, and she told me that. My attorney told me, you know, go get the child, say I want to take the child for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and just return him in a day or two without...
Wait, say that again?
Yes, she said, go tell Tammy, I want to see the child for 5, 10 minutes or half an hour, and then bring the child back to her 2, 3 days later or whatever time you want. And I was like, I just cannot do that, because if I return the child, you know, a day or two later, she's not going to trust me again of having that child.
Deb, could you imagine how much that would have escalated this situation? I cannot believe an attorney was given that advice. Well, unfortunately, I can believe an attorney was given that advice. That's the sad part of it. But so basically, it sounds to me like if at that first hearing, the two of y'all could have gone off and just had a conversation and had something put into writing about what, you know, shared time would be while you're going through the divorce, a lot of this could have been eliminated right then and there.
I want to make sure nobody's taking this as we're giving legal advice. We're just we're actually just playing this out in conversation so that we can learn and you all can learn. And we're really inviting the professional community to hear what's going on in real lives, real cases. And there's no, you know, there's no real perfect outcome. This is still family conflict. But what we're talking about is a success story and wanting people to see what's possible when you talk and when you have the right guidance. And when you can be maybe a little more under control with your thinking, where you're less reactive. So she was highly reactive and going from bad to worse, going into hiding. But you, because of what you were told in that scenario by that attorney, that made you stop and go, wait, something's not right here? That they would suggest that?
Yes. My background, I used to be a foster parent, and I value children a lot. Family, to me, it's very important. And my issue at that time was to really reach a resolution that will fit everyone, that, you know, it be as proper as possible. And from, you know, going through the divorce and listening to the attorneys, it got us the opposite way, where it escalated the situation quickly.
Would it surprise you that I hear this a lot?
Definitely. It does surprise me, because the way I feel about it is you paying a lot of money. That's number one. And you paying for a professional advice. I'm not an attorney, and I don't know how to handle the court system. So therefore, you hire an attorney.
Right.
And the attorney, in my opinion, should look at after you, your best interest, and the family as well. Because like I said, there is life after divorce. It does not stop at the divorce point. So my experience is, for the listeners and everyone, is to consider, you know, to consider the divorce as a journey, and you have to understand, you know, to put boundaries from the beginning to the end, and understand there is life after divorce. It does not stop there.
No, I'm impressed that you were able to give pause and think about her and think about what was going on and start asking questions. So what was it like when the two of you started talking and worked toward a settlement? Was that hard?
It was not comfortable, because you still have the emotions. Anytime when you get married, you're investing a lot emotionally, physically, and financially, and you think that this marriage would last forever. So there's a lot of emotions, and you know, getting to a point of a divorce, you feel like a huge loss, and to sit down and kind of, you know, work through the emotions, it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but I believe it's doable for the sake of the kid.
And let me remind our listeners again, we're listening to Pro Advocate Radio with your host, James O'Brien, Deb Beecham, and we're talking with Tony of Tony and Tammy, recently divorced, kind of got turned down the wrong road maybe by some professionals who weren't looking out for the best interest of your child, as you said. And you were actually advised, and this blows me away, Deb, but it doesn't, unfortunately, doesn't completely shock me, but you were advised to actually tell your ex-wife that you just wanted to visit with your child for a little bit, and then, but not return the child for a couple days.
Yes.
And she was allowed to go into hiding rather than working with, say, you know, an advocacy group or law enforcement to help her feel safe and secure. And there was no mention of mediation, parenting plan to dial down the conflict. So these are things that, you know, we're just putting this out there so that if somebody's going through this right now, and the way they're being guided or what's happening around the court process just doesn't make sense, listen to your gut and reach out for a second opinion, reach out for help, whether it's to us at myadvocatecenter.com or somebody else. You know, I know people who have gone to the YWCA or have gone to the Jewish Community Center, for example. There's all kinds of places you can go, your church counseling office. Go talk to people and say, this is what I'm dealing with. You know, talk to your doctor. You can say, I don't understand what's happening, but it doesn't make sense.
Right.
We can't communicate. Our kids are feeling the stress. They're for sure not getting the best of both their parents. They're seeing us both at our worst. And you know what? There's no end in sight. That's right. The problem is there's no end in sight. But in this situation, you know, while divorce is not ideal, and it's still not going to be ideal, I mean, you're having to navigate new territory now as individuals, not as a couple, but you're still parents. So you're moving forward in a better way than where you were. And that's what we want to see. We don't want to see people go from bad to worse. You know, we want to see family stability, even if the family is divided. So thank you for opening up. And this is really good information for a lot of people out there. And I know we'll have more professionals on after this talking about your situation and your case and how this could have been done better. And, you know, really legally, I'd like to have some attorneys in here talking about what they would do if they came across your situation. So we're not going to get into legalities today, but do we want to go ahead and get Tammy back in here? And I'm sure Junior would like to see Daddy for a minute.
Well, and you know, Tony, you know, one of the things that getting back to the advice you were given, I can only imagine what that would have emotionally and then trust-wise done had you taken Junior and disappeared for 3 days. I mean, she'd have been scared to death.
Yes, and that's why I don't blame Tammy for going in the hide, because at that point, there's no legal recourse on my end or her end.
Right.
And it was stressful on both ends as well.
But it seems like, and not an attorney here either, don't play one on the radio, but it just seems to me like had you been able to, I know the first thing that happened in my divorce, I'll just go back to that, was we, very early on, there was an agreement signed between myself and my ex-wife on what the temporary state of custody would be until the divorce was finished. That took that fear that you were just talking about away.
So yeah. We, while we're getting
Tammy back in,
getting Tammy back in and Junior situated with another Cinnabon, looks like those are a big hit today. Well, yeah, life needs frosting, right?
So yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah, we're at Business Radio X here in Buckhead and enjoying a very different type of conversation, and learning from mistakes that have been made all around, and thinking about what we could do better. You know, if we knew then what we know now. Yeah. So what would you do, Tammy, if you had to start all over again?
Well, I could wish that I referred to you a little sooner.
Thanks.
A lot sooner, actually. It really, I think, would have made a world of difference to have a good attorney, with good professionals to start with. That you know, the attorney I had was recommended to me. It's not like I picked up the phone, went on the internet and just grabbed the first person with advertising. I mean, this person was recommended to me. But I really, in hindsight, I really wish I had met Deb and been connected to the Advocate Center a lot sooner.
Yeah, thanks. So I think we're going to, through social media and the news stories that are coming out, we'll be reaching a lot more people before they get too embroiled.
And that's what I'm hearing from, it sounds like from both of you, had maybe a mediator been brought in earlier, that a lot of this could have just been avoided.
Yes.
I mean, you know, had y'all been able to, in that first trip to court, even come up with a temporary, this is what custody will look like, a lot of his fears, your fears, everybody's fears go away. Instead, it seemed like, you know, it was like, let's not let them communicate because they might work something out, you know, keep both parties in their separate corners. We don't want anything happening not through us.
Yeah, I don't mean to laugh. This is not funny, no. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to name names of lawyers and firms, but this isn't the first time that we've heard this type of situation. And in fact, there was one Cobb County case where the mother and father, I mean, litigation over a little baby, very short-term marriage, I think under a year. And the litigation went on for 3 years, and the father was led to believe that the mother was trying to take his entire law enforcement, pension, retirement, everything, and he was guided to fight for custody of the child, to use the child as financial leverage to get her to back off of what she wanted financially. And I understand that kind of Tony was led down that same path too, that you can, you know, there's a way to offset your financial exposure by using your children. And that's why we are here, is talking about this. But that Cobb County case was one that the judge finally recognized at the final hearing and said, he looked at both attorneys and he said, I don't understand why we're here. This isn't a real financial fight. And we really can see what's going on here. We don't need to be fighting about custody. Why are we here? Why has this case been going on for 3 years? And it, you know, wound up doing significant damage to the parties. I mean, we're talking about a law enforcement officer and a stay-at-home mom. You know, they didn't have $180,000 to waste on litigation. And you can only imagine what it did to the law enforcement officer's performance at work. You know, and how did it affect the young children at home with this mother who was being put through an unnecessary custody fight? Just not good. It affected everyone's health. And that's just one example. I mean, I could sit here and give you example after example. So I'm just, as a mother and as a person, I'm really impressed with how you both have handled so much stress. And I know that this is hard on your body too, and your mind. And I see that you're dealing with a disability, which, you know, we're not going to go into a lot of detail on, but I know what stress does to people who don't have a disability, you know. And so this is a big deal for you. This is a lot harder on you than it probably is on the average person. And you have a young child who's depending on you to, you know, be standing up straight and, you know, this is hard. So, you know, we're going to talk more about that later.
Okay.
Because we want to see you recover, and we want to see, you know, you guys have a lot of years left with your little boy that
a
you
lot,
have a lot yes. of years that you have to get along and save for his college. And so, yes. I'm glad you're on a better path, and we can talk more because we're going to have to end here soon, but we can ask a couple more questions and then we can talk more afterwards, and we can even do a follow-up later.
Okay.
Because I really want to invite more professionals in our community and in every state to look at cases, look at situations like yours and say, you know what, how could we prevent this?
Absolutely.
How can we hold each other accountable to help people avoid these kinds of situations? And your situation could have turned really, really bad.
Yes.
Well, and that's the, I think the point that Tony made was a very good one. There is life after divorce. And especially in your situation, Tammy, where you've got a child this young, there's a lot of life after divorce, because even when you're divorced, as long as you've got kids and they haven't graduated from college, you are still tied together on some level. And if it just goes down the road y'all were going down on, I can only imagine what birthdays and graduations and weddings one day would look like at the rate y'all were going.
I'm
going
to interject a topic that we've got a lot of followers on social media who are saying, but what about alienation? Please bring up alienation. So alienation is just where one person, you know, through punitive desire, just cuts out the other parent and teaches the child to think less of the other parent.
It was going that way.
So, yeah, you can see how that happens, and you can mm-hmm. see how that tactic is enabled.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people, they know they're alienating the children from the other parent. They know they're cutting that other parent out, but they feel justified because of what they believe is being done to them.
Correct.
And then the kids get caught up, and there's a lot of emotional abuse that goes on around the children in that. So I'm glad you guys were able to head that off at the pass. And that's when I get into the Hatfield and McCoy, that's what I'm thinking of, is that alienation that just destroys the family for generations. So we're going to do a follow-up and get into more of what that means, because people who haven't experienced it, they don't, the term alienation doesn't ring true. They don't get it. So we'll follow up with that more later. So if you're listening and you're somebody who has been cut off from a child wrongfully and you're trying to find your way back.
Right. Well, and it becomes something that happens very subtly. And what I see in this particular case is it was actually the attorneys that were planting the seeds of that alienation with some of the advice they were giving. You know, you're already working from a place of fear. You're talking about your kid. There's nothing more important in any real parent's life than their child. Then you roll the money in on top of that. That becomes a second consideration in divorce. And the reality is nothing else really matters.
Mm-hmm.
So when you've got the professionals kind of planting those seeds, and it, you know, alienation to a degree it's going to happen in every divorce to a degree, because you're not happy with your ex-spouse.
Well, you're throwing up boundaries. You're
trying to move on. But
yeah.
That is a whole other story. I think that we need to have a panel of of experts just on that specific thing, because it becomes a huge portion of it, and really a lot of times raises to the level of abuse of the child in those situations.
So we want to avoid that, and we do have some great experts and great case studies that we'll work with on that. But right now we're just happier that we have Tony and Tammy talking and working out a good parenting plan. getting their case over with, and now they know the difference with professionals who will look out for their interests and for their son's interests. So thank you for being here.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
And we want to thank Tony as well. He's off with Junior right now, but Tony and Tammy, thank you so much. I know it's a difficult thing to discuss. Thank you so much for your time, and Deb, another great show.
Thank you, James.
This show is brought to you by My Advocate Center, the voice for families and family law advocates. Learn more at myadvocatecenter.com.